We got one, another speaker this morning is that elected man Roy was telling about him. There's about four groups claim him. I think each one claims he's from the other group. I had a time trying to figure out how to introduce him. We usually introduce somebody by the name and hometown. He's got so many, I don't know which one to use. So we're just calling Phil from Rio Doce.
Yeah. Now you tell me.
I'm Phil Flaxman, an alcoholic. And by the grace of God, attempting to follow the 12 steps of the Alcoholics Anonymous program to help you people, not other people like you. I haven't had a drink in 2 years and 2 months and 8 days. He tells me now they lengthened that 5 minutes. I'll tell you, Bart's telling he didn't know what group I belonged to. Well, I do belong to about four groups, and this is one of them, so I'm not a visiting speaker, so I can just say what I want to. I don't have to be nice, though. Ann and I feel like we belong to this group. Actually, Wichita Falls is our original home group. We also belong to the Lubbock group, and now we have a group, what we call our own, up at Rio Doce. Incidentally, you're all invited up there. We'd like to have you up there. We have a meeting every Sunday morning at 10:30. We have a small group, but it's a good group. Sometimes take a weekend and come up to Rio Doce and meet with us. This 5 minute deal here, Ann and I pulled in town a couple of months ago. I met one of the wheels of the AA just as quick as I got in town. He said, you gonna be in town tonight for the meeting? I said, sure. Out there for me. So we came out here, and the chairman got up, and he said, we had a called meeting of the policy committee this afternoon about 5 o'clock. And it has been decided that we will limit the length of time that anybody can talk to 5 minutes. Now, if they weren't taking dead aim at me, I don't know who they were shooting at. To carry it a little bit farther, I was talking to Art this morning, just before the meeting, and we have a man with us. With all due respect to other AA speakers, and there are a lot of wonderful speakers in AA. But we have one man with us this morning that is my favorite speaker, and that's Macon. So I looked on the program to see when Macon was going to speak, and Art had him down last. And I sort of, in my mind, questioned that, but Art said, that's all right. Said, of course, we're going to run this program off on time. We're going to quit at 12 o'clock, and we need 30 minutes for Macon. So it's 22 minutes till 12 now. Now, that's the way they give me 5 minutes in Vicksburg. I want to carry on what Buck said a little bit. He took you back 6 years and told you about the first AA meeting that he attended here in Big Spring. I want to go a little bit farther with that and showing you how this AA works. Now, the way I heard the story about that first meeting wasn't like Buck told it to y'all this morning. The way I heard it was that there were 5 or 6 people here in town that were contemplating trying to work the AA program. And they said, look, there's an old boy out here in the bug house that's an alcoholic. Let's go out and have a meeting out there and get him in there, and if it'll work on him, it'll work on anybody. Now, that's the way I heard the story about that first meeting. I'll carry you up now, 2 years and 8 months ago. Buck took you back 6 years and told you how he attended his first AA meeting and he didn't have any desire to quit drinking. Now, I'm going to disagree with some talks that you've heard about this AA. You have heard that a person must have some desire to quit drinking before this AA can do them any good. Well, they don't. I'm going to contradict that statement positively. Buck went to his first AA meeting to get some cigarettes. And he's been dry 6 years. I went to my first AA meeting and I didn't have the slightest desire to quit drinking. Not the slightest desire. I went because my sister wanted me to. So you don't have to have a desire to quit drinking to let this AA work out. Let me get that straight. I'd been to a couple of AA meetings in Wichita Falls just because my sister wanted me to. I didn't want to quit drinking, but I knew that they, and when I say they, I'm speaking to my sister and her husband. I'll call their names. A lot of you know them, Jack and Florence Elliott, who have been dry almost 6 years. I knew that they had gotten something out of this program. I didn't know what it was, but I wanted some of it. But I didn't want to quit drinking to get it. I'll tell you that frankly. I'd been to a couple of AA meetings, and I had gotten absolutely nothing out of them. I thought it was the biggest bunch of hogwash that I had ever heard in my life. That a bunch of grown men and women would get up and say that a higher power was helping them to stay sober. Now, I couldn't swallow that higher power. Just couldn't take it. So one night, Buck and Nita came down to Wichita Falls, and Buck was going to talk to the AA group there. They stayed with my sister, who I was staying with, because she was supporting me. That's right. She was supporting me. I was the big wheel. I hadn't been drinking. I hadn't had a drink in 2.5 years. I'd gone to a few AA meetings. Not to stay sober. Not to get sober. I'd been sober 2.5 years. Hadn't had a drink. Buck and Nita stayed out there, and I wouldn't even show them the courtesy of going to the meeting. I said, no, I don't want to go. I'm showing you how this AA works. Buck told you about when he went to the first meeting here. I'm showing you what happened in Big Spring 6 years ago, what caused this to happen 2 years and 8 months ago. I wouldn't even go to the meeting. I wouldn't show Buck and Nita the courtesy, even though they were guests in my sister's house. But after the meeting, you know that Buck, he's pretty cute. He'll sort of get you in sort of a dirty, sneaking, underhanded way sometimes. He and my sister had a little conversation about me, you see. And I think that she was about the same opinion that this group was here about Buck. That if AA would work on me, it'd work on anybody. Anyway, after the meeting, why, I was sitting around out there in the kitchen, and they came in, and we sat around and started chewing the fat, and they were talking about this and that and the other, and they all drifted off except Buck. And there was Buck and I sitting there. Well, I didn't know Buck from a load of brooms. I'd heard about him. And I looked him over pretty good. And I liked 2 or 3 things that he said right off the bat. And I thought, maybe this old boy can tell me what I've been wanting to know. Well, he and I sat there and talked in the kitchen of my sister's home in Wichita Falls until 4 o'clock in the morning. Drinking coffee. Just talking. I didn't especially let my hair down. Buck did. He told me a lot of things. He told me a lot of things that pertained to me. A lot of times I thought he was talking about me when he was talking about himself. But he answered one question for me that I had been wanting answered. And that was, what has AA got that I want? He said, Phil, he said, you've been telling me that you've been going up to these meetings on account of Florence. Now, he said, that won't work. He said, you have got to live your own life. Florence can't live your life for you. You've got to live it yourself. Now, to take whiskey away from you and not give you anything in its place won't work. And I'll tell you what the AA program will give you that will replace that whiskey. Well, I said, that's what I want to know. I've been dry 2.5 years. I've got a void. I know I'm lacking. I know that I'm an alcoholic. I knew I was an alcoholic. There wasn't any question about that in my mind. But I wanted to know how it was going to help me. Being an alcoholic, being selfish, I wanted to be helped. I wanted, what was it going to do to me? I knew what it had done to my immediate family, the program, but how was it going to help me? Selfish. Self-centered. I want to know what I was going to get out of it. Because that's what I'd been wanting to do, wanting to know all my life. What am I going to get out of this or that or the other? That was the first question. What am I going to get out of it? Now, I've been dry, I told him, for 2.5 years. And I'm just as unhappy and just as miserable as I was when I was drinking. In fact, I think I'm a little bit more miserable. Well, he said, that won't work. He said, you can't be sober and unhappy. If you're going to be unhappy, you might just as well be drunk. Well, I believe that. If you can't get something out of this program that will make you happy, you might just as well be drunk. He said, the thing that you've got to find out is that there's something that will help you in your life. Not especially in your drinking problem, but in your life that will help you straighten out your life. Well, I said, what is that? He said, that's God. Well, now, that's carrying things just a little bit too far, I thought. Here I am, man. At that time, about 47 years old. Of course, I went to church when I was a kid. Swore when I got out of school I'd never go again. I went to denominational school and you had to go every day and 3 times on Sunday. I didn't want any of that God business. I wanted no part of it. Not that I didn't believe there was a higher power. I had that much sense. I could believe there was a higher power, all right, because there had to be some explanation of these series of things that happens. I mean, they just aren't instances. They aren't coincidences. There's a plan. I had enough sense to know that this universe works on a plan. That when you've got a plan, you've got a planner. And I knew that there was a higher power working in and around us some way or other, but I didn't want any of that higher power because he never had done nothing for me. And I was mainly interested in somebody that did something for me. So he said, I'm talking about Bucktown. Buck said, you got to have faith that this thing will work. Second, you got to turn your will and your life, quoting the third step, over to the care of that higher power as you understand him. Not as the Baptists understand him, or the Catholics, or the Mohammedans, but as you understand that higher power. Well, I didn't have much understanding of a higher power, but I knew there was a higher power, so I could go for that. As I understood him, I could go for that. Well, now, there was the first inkling that I ever got about what AA is. For me, and of course we all work at different, that was the important thing. I don't mean by that that I didn't take another drink. I did. I have left AA meetings and gone and taken drinks. And did that for several months. But through what Buck told me, I felt that sometime I might be able to learn enough about AA where that I could have a substitute for liquor. Now, I heard a man say up at a meeting in Wichita Falls the other night, he made the statement about a business acquaintance of his. We were talking about people in town drinking, not mentioning any names. He said if that man didn't drink, he'd be broke in 3 years because he can't make a deal unless he's drinking. I could very readily understand that. That was very easy for me to understand. Now, this man that I was talking to, I think that was about his second meeting. He didn't know that man who was using liquor as a crutch to make his business deals could substitute something else for that liquor. I don't even know whether that man's an alcoholic or not. It don't make any difference. But we use liquor to make us something different, to give us confidence, to release our inhibitions, so that we could make business deals, so that we could live with ourselves, because we didn't like ourselves sober. Sober, we sort of halfway looked in the mirror and saw our true selves. With a few drinks under our belt, we sort of glossed things over. We took a little bit different picture from that mirror than what it really was. We slid over a lot of things. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think that substitute for that liquor is. Something that will give you and me that confidence to carry on our business. The confidence to accept our responsibilities in life and do something about them. The confidence to lead normal, useful lives. And it can be summed up very much, very easily, in a very few words. And that is faith in a higher power. That's all it is. All right, you've got faith in a higher power. You actually believe that a higher power will help you. You really believe that. All right, now you believe it, let's use it. Let's use that higher power. Let's consult with that higher power. Not when we get up in the morning and make our contract. Not casually during the day, but let's consult with that higher power 24 hours a day. Let's say that we've got a new partner. That's the way I like to look at it. That I found a new partner. Now, if I'm going out in the business world and I'm looking for a partner in my business, I'm going to try to find the best man that's available. That's just common sense. Now, if I'm going to find me a partner, if I'm looking for a partner that's going to work with me 24 hours in the day, I'm going to get the best partner that's available. And that's that higher power as you or I understand that higher power. And I'm going to use that higher power. Not, as I said, just when I get up in the morning, but all through the day. I'm going to consult with my partner. I'm going to ask that partner what is the thing to do, and then I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm not going to expect him to do it. You know, there's nothing any truer than that old saying. When you pray for potatoes, reach for a hole. This thing is just based on three simple words. That's faith. And we all have faith or we wouldn't be here. That's prayer. That's something that you can't use too much of. And that's action. The three things, faith, prayer, and action. We must take action on what our partner tells us to do. In other words, he's the boss. He's the management. And through our subconscious or consciousness or soul or mind or whatever you want to call it, he tells us what to do. And if we'll listen to him, and if we will take the proper action on what he tells us to do, we will have good thoughts. Good thoughts lead to good action. Now that's all there is to this program the way I see it. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad y'all are here. I want to come back again. I want y'all to come back.